give you that opportunity. Raise your hand, and I'll get a mic to you. So I also became a new grandpa while I was out there. So that was exciting. So Tyrell Yvonne Lichtenberger. So that was a blessing. He was seemingly long awaited for. So glad for all the prayers on their behalf as well. So is there someone that would like to share a little bit about leadership seminar and men's discipleship, or however they call that, at Living Hope? You can all raise your hands at once, that's fine. Up here.
It was a very encouraging, refreshing week for me. One thing that I felt like, for me anyway, that kept reoccurring, I don't believe there was any particular specific message on it, but it seemed like it kept reoccurring through the different messages, and that was the need for prayer and being connected to God, with God. And that was one thing that seemed like the Lord really spoke to me through different messages. Like I said, there wasn't really a specific on it, but it seemed like it reoccurred through different of the messages. And yeah, it was just an encouraging, upbuilding time to be there. And it seemed like that God was there with us.
Yeah, well, it was blessing to go to men's discipleship. It was my first year, and it was all a blessing for me to just see what the Lord had. One thing that I guess stood out to me was, I think it was Dale Heise on the theology of Matthew. One point he brought out where it was said, poor in spirit, and that we need to be like a beggar sitting there with our cup, asking, you know, the beggar, he sits there and he asks for money, and he knows that if he doesn't get anything, he's not going to get any food for the day. And referring that to us in our spiritual life, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to be sitting, and we need to be there before God as empty, waiting for God to fill us, but also be engaged to receive that blessing, to be connected with Christ, to get that infilling. That way we can go forward and move on. And another thing was the last evening message on preserving the faith, or keeping the faith. That was just a good thought for me to think about. What am I doing today that is going to, am I preserving it, or am I sustaining it is the right word, carry on, the next generations will carry on the faith, and it not just be preserved and just stay there, and then a few generations later it kind of dwindles out, but that it can continue through following generations. So it was a blessing to be there.
Good. I think Mo's stepped out for right now, so we'll give him a chance later on maybe, but thank you for sharing. It was a blessing and stretching, encouraging. I thought all of the messages together were just really gave a rounded picture of what we ought to be as leaders, as men, and a blessing. You can listen to the messages. They are on the Living Hope website, so if you would like to, you can refresh yourself with that. Mose, did you have anything you wanted to say about leadership seminar? Okay. All right. Shouldn't leave you off so easy. All right. Here this morning, yes. Down a little further. Am I blowing into it? Is that better? Thanks. Okay. So this morning, Lord's laid some things on my heart to share. Maybe somebody could help me. But there are three things that are mentioned that it takes to be, or I say three things, these are the three things that are mentioned. And I'd like for you to help me with the phrase that I'm looking for. But it talks about being perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here that would like that or not in your spiritual life. And maybe we need to talk more about that, and we will talk more about it. But I didn't see any hands go up yet. Perfect, yes. Talks in different places about being perfect, doesn't it? But it specifically mentions those things. And there's something prefacing it. Yes. That's right. At least one. At least one, and that's what I'm looking for. Faith? Good thought. Good thoughts. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. See if we can pick it up here. James chapter 1 verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Did you get it? This is what it says. Let patience have her perfect work. We want to chew on that this morning. Let patience have her perfect work. There was a scripture that I was contemplating on for some time already, and I don't think I have all of the... I'm not sure if I'm wrapping my mind around the whole thing yet, but I think this... what we're going to chew on here this morning has something to do with what I think it was Jesus that said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. He uses that phrase. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Let patience have her perfect work. He starts in verse 2 by saying, brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I was pondering how God wants us to be perfect. What does that word perfect mean? But he wants us to be, I'll get to that. He wants us to be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That doesn't mean that we don't have any needs. It means that he's providing all the needs that we have. And he wants us to have these three items. And he says that we should let patience have her perfect work, that she may be. And then he names those three things. Could there be a chance that God sends things our way, and he has this beautiful plan that he has in mind for us, so that we can, that he can make us perfect, entire, wanting nothing, and we just sort of blow it? We just sort of blow what he had in mind, this beautiful plan that he had for us. We just sort of mess it up. We get frustrated. We get angry. We start blaming others for the problems that we have. When God is literally trying to get us to these three things. The very avenue that God brings our way to make us perfect, entire, wanting nothing, is what we end up fighting against. So how is God supposed to do this work in us? Let patience have her perfect work. Need your help again. Some of you are wordy. You like words. Give me some synonyms for this word patience. Endurance. What was that?
Steadfast.
Long suffering. Perseverance. Oh, that's not right. Got it. Waiting?
Waiting.
Waiting. Wait. Wait. Someone once prayed this prayer. Lord, I need patience right now. Isn't that contradicting? What was that other one?
Grace.
I think I had a few more on here. We have humble. Somebody say humble. Forbearance. Think of any others? How about this one? This marker's not working very good. Try this. Tolerance. Is that a synonym? What was that? Contentment. Contentment. And I had one more I wanted to add here. We don't often think of this as, maybe we don't often think of suffering as being a part of patience, but I think it goes along with it. So we have a list of other words that we could put in place there with patience or alongside it, maybe to help us understand what he means there by let patience have her perfect work. So
In Greek, the word patience there simply means cheerful endurance or hopeful endurance. That's in simple language there for us. That ye may be cheerful in enduring, in the sufferings, in the trials that come, that would be cheerful endurers. And then that word perfect simply means complete. It means in various applications of labor, growth, and note this, mental and moral character. And other words that are used for this same definition in the Greek, one of them was of full age. That you may be perfect, complete, mature, a full age. So, as we chew on this idea of letting patience have her perfect work, I'd like to take our minds, first of all, to how God is patient with us. I think most of us recognize that. Is there anybody here that doesn't recognize how patient God has been with you? If you're here, raise your hand. Oh, they're not here. Okay, good. So, we recognize God's patience with us. Most of us have probably blundered pretty badly already. Isn't that true? And God was patient with us. Moses met God on Mount Sinai, and this is what he said. In Exodus 34, verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.'" So in the Old Testament, a lot of the places, he uses the word long-suffering. When he's speaking about God and how God relates to mankind, he often uses that word that God is long-suffering. If we consider the things like King David went through with Saul, you know, David went through some pretty difficult things with Saul, didn't he? And his friend Jonathan was right there with him, and they had a kinship there. And then later, as he becomes the king, and Saul dies, then we see David and his sin with Bathsheba. And we know, again, he made a pretty big blunder there, didn't he? This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Just bringing out some examples of men who experienced God's patience. Here's another one. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 20, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." Can somebody tell me about how long it took for Noah to build the ark? 120 years, somebody says. Any other numbers? I think that's close. It was right in that 100. It's not clearly defined, but it's close, I think. 100 and some years that God was long-suffering. That's a lot of years. That's somebody's entire life. And God was long-suffering. He had already come to Noah and said, the place is so wicked. Build yourself an ark. I'm going to destroy this place. 120 some years later was finally when it happened. I mean, how many of us would suffer that long? You see how God is long-suffering? In Romans chapter 2, verse 2 to 4, after we read Romans 1, we see the wickedness again of man and the debauchery that man falls into. He says these words, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Talking about chapter 1. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? There we got two of the things, longsuffering and forbearance. Speaking of the patience of God. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I like what he says there, because it reflects very similar to what James says about us letting patience have her perfect work. You see, the things that God brings our way are not just random. God has a beautiful picture in mind and wants us to adhere to that picture and be a part of that picture and allow ourselves to be changed by what he's bringing to us. And he says this, that the things that he's bringing to us are there to bring us, I believe, to repentance in those areas that we're failing in. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance? To me, that is letting patience have her perfect work. It puts it in a nutshell there, what God wants from us. Do I allow God to bring into my life the things that will make me complete, entire, wanting nothing? And Romans 15, verse 5, now the God of patience, there we have it, the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Paul, he called God the God of patience. Now, as we consider the patience of God, I think it's good for us also to consider another aspect of God. God is also a holy God. And the next point I have here is that it's a question. It's two questions put together. Does it ever run out? And I'm talking about God's patience. Does God's patience ever run out? Yes. Will he always be long-suffering? Now, he's very long-suffering. We saw it with Noah. He's very, very long-suffering. And he's long-suffering with me. He's been long-suffering with you. But will it ever run out? Genesis 6, verse 3, this was just before the flood, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. God, I believe, made it clear that his long-suffering does run out. It doesn't run out. I don't think God's ever runs out. But his holiness prevails. And he has no other choice. He's given us all the remedies that we need to be free from sin. But there's a time coming, if we do not receive that remedy, he has no other options. we're done. And in that sense, his spirit will not always strive with man. Psalm 103, verse 7 to 10. And I know you could take this probably in different ways. And we'll see it again in Micah 7. But I think we can draw something also out of this. In verse 7 in Psalm 103, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And he says this, he will not always chide. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Now you could take that probably two different ways there. He will not always chide. And then he says, neither will he keep his anger forever. There's also some verses that talk in Psalms, talks about God is angry with the wicked every day. It's like there's a buildup of anger. It's the good kind. It's the kind that God has, and rightfully his, about the sin and debauchery of mankind. But he will not keep his anger forever. We're answering this question, does it ever run out? Will he always be long-suffering? He goes on to say here, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How many of you are grateful for that? Yeah. That he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So we see both God's patience here, but we also see that he's not always going to chide with man. Nor will he keep his anger forever. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. I think we all can recognize those areas that God has suffered long with us. And just think about what God has been trying maybe to teach you, me. You know, sometimes it goes years somehow before God finally gets through to us. But what he's trying to get at, he does it in a lot of different ways, doesn't he? Let's move on. Here's another question, another point for us to consider and chew on here. Do we need patience? We talked about God's patience with us, his long-suffering toward us. Now, do we need patience? You can answer that if you like. Yes. I think that's clear. The answer is clearly yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Can you finish the rest? Be patient toward all men. So yes, we need patience. Be patient toward all men. Now, help me with this, but is patience a natural part of the fabric of our being? No, it's not, is it? So, when we get converted and God changes our lives, are we then just naturally patient? I haven't found it that way. And I don't think you have either. Some of us may tend or lean a little bit better towards that than others. But it's not just a natural response. Take me a 3-year-old. And they're playing.
and another three-year-old comes up and just grabs the toy away, what happens? Automatically patient. Oh, sure, no problem. Somehow it doesn't work that way. Immediately there's this rising up within. Do we need patience? We do, don't we? Why do we let our feathers get ruffled? And most times, I think you'd agree with me that most times it's over things that are a lot smaller than the challenges that I've been to God. Paul, speaking to Timothy about the love of money, says this in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." If we're following after something, we have our eye on it, right? We have our eyes on that when we're following after it. And he lists a number of things we should follow after: righteousness, godliness, faith, love. This morning we're talking about patience. Patience. Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." We're called to be what? Children of God, right? Joint heirs with Christ. He says, now walk worthy of that. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Here he puts the two together. Long suffering and forbearing one another in love. See, if it was just me in this world, I wouldn't need to learn patience, right? But because it's you and I and many others, we have need of patience. Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. He says we should put it on. And that putting on has the idea of a garment. It's not something we naturally are wearing. We have to put it on. He also says something else just earlier in this same chapter, verse 8. "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, blasphemy." Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Again, the same idea. Something of putting on, something to put off. It's like the garment. Wearing something. Put it off. Put it on. Long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and put off the anger. Put off wrath and malice. It sounds like we didn't come with it, right? We didn't come with being long-suffering. We didn't come with being forbearing and forgiving. That's not how we came. That's how he wants us to be. Tell me a little bit, how does anger usually come? When I think I have rights. When I don't get my own way. When we run out of resources. Why does the Bible say we should be slow to anger? How does it usually come?
Fast, usually. It happens quickly. Something isn't working for me. It comes quick. It comes fast. They call it a short fuse. Well, I just have a short fuse. Is that all right? Is that all right to have a short fuse? I'm glad we're admitting it, well, if we do, that we have a short fuse. But I don't think it's the way God wants us to be if we're going to let patience have her perfect work. Short fuse, that's a little bit like, you know, when they use dynamite and they use explosives, they usually put a fuse to it. And so they have this little thing that goes out a ways, and they can light it over there because they don't want to be close to the explosion. So they light it out there a ways. Now, if you have a short fuse and you light it, you might not have time to run the distance you need to before that explosion happens. So we need to be slow to anger. We need to lengthen our fuse a long way. I like when he says that we should put off all these, and I think he has the idea of a cloth, and that I've often thought about it, how we put off other things. You know, we need to go to town, and we put it off for a while, or we need to go talk to a brother about maybe something that hurt in here, and we just put it off, and we keep putting it off. And well, that's how we should maybe do with anger too. Just put it off a while. You know, maybe the next morning things will look a little different. You know, we don't have to respond right now. Let's just put it off for a while because I know what's going to come out. You know, just put it off. So we sit down to breakfast. Well, Mom lets us know that there's only a little bit of milk in the jug, and that's all we have in the house. We just have this little bit of milk, and sure enough, Sally gets a glass full and poof, dumps the whole glass. Now what happens? Or maybe we're running late to church and Johnny can't find his shoes again or his coat. And we think if he just learns to put it where it belongs, he would find it quickly. And that's true. But what goes on inside? What's going on inside? Or we come home as dads, supper's not ready. I've got an important meeting I need to get to. What's the response coming out of our hearts? Or Sally just isn't getting her math in school. And maybe she's just not applying herself. And you're having to spend so much time with her, and there are so many other things needing your attention. And the three other students that really need your attention. And inside, this thing gets going. You know, this irritation gets going. Let patience have her perfect work. Or maybe it's somebody at work and he's just getting on your nerves. And we let things build up. And all of a sudden, our attitude, something comes out. Maybe it wasn't even wrong, the words we used to communicate, but the attitude was there. Are those things that happen? Maybe it's just things I face, but it's pretty real for all of us. There's so many other areas that we find this thing creeping up. And the question I have is, how can we let patience have her perfect work? How can we do that? when we're right faced with the problem, right in the middle of the issue, how can we let patience have her perfect work in us? How do we go about growing in patience is my next point. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, he gives a list of things we should add to our faith. And patience is one of those things. He says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Do you see the three things? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Godliness. It says we should add to our faith patience. And I think it produces godliness in us when we let patience have her perfect work. Now we're going to go back to James where we started. How do we grow in patience? Notice verse 3 says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. How does our faith get tried? When all goes well. When it's always the way I want it. No amens? Because that's not how it works, right? It doesn't work that way. It's usually when it's in opposition to what I want that patience needs to kick in, right? The trying of your faith worketh patience. It comes through suffering. It comes through testings. It comes through fires. Sometimes those fires are even physical, literal. The trying of our faith. Hardships. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, Paul says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And what did Paul know about tribulation? He was beaten with rods 3 times, he says. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was in weariness often. He was hungry. He was, it says, painfulness. I hadn't noticed that in there before. But what for pain did Paul experience? Paul had painfulness. He was thirsty. He was in fasting. He was cold. We know what cold feels like. All of those things. And sometimes, in the midst of those tribulations, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And we explode. But tribulation worketh patience. In Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, those two together, I like that, because if we're going to be patient in tribulation, we're going to also have to be instant in prayer. And try it once. You think about that time when things are coming up, things are just coming too thick for you. Become instant in prayer. God, help me. And maybe you need to pray, Lord, I need patience right now. Instant in prayer versus instant to get angry. In 1 Peter 2, verse 20, for what glory is it If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You know, sometimes people will point out needs that we have, faults that we have, flat spots, whatever you want to call them. People will point those things out. And, you know, that's one thing, if we take that patiently. But what if it was a total misunderstanding of what I meant or what I intended? And they took my motive and twisted it to whatever they thought. And he says, if we take that patiently, he said, that's acceptable with God. But I think even the other, being buffeted for our faults, I think he would encourage us to take it patiently. What does that mean? To me, it means let patience have her perfect work. Let it do what it needs to do without us reacting to it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. You know, our attitude has so much to do with this thing of growing in patience. Our attitude of how we view our testings, how we view our trials, how we view our temptations, the tribulation that comes our way, right in our own four walls that we live in, things that happen to us. Our attitude makes such a difference. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. If you remember the Greek definition, it says of patience, it's cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Our attitude makes a huge difference. In James chapter 5, verse 11, talks about Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. We won't go there this morning, but consider Job. Consider what he went through and the patience. I think he was letting patience have its perfect work. I think there was times within that he was frustrated with his three friends. Why couldn't they just see he hadn't done anything wrong? Like they were trying to prove him wrong. They were judging his motives. But he was like, and his friends were like, well, just admit it, Job. What do you have to lose? I didn't do anything wrong. But in the end, there was some things God had for Job. There was some things that Job needed to grow in. And God pointed those things out to Job. And many, many times it's that way for us. Can't we just open our hearts and let patience have her perfect work? I'm challenged with this, but I remember a number of years ago, quite a few years ago, there was this something that would rise up within me when people wanted to judge my motives or point things out to me in my life, and there was this defensiveness that came up. And you can just imagine how well I grew in my spiritual walk when I was going like this to those things, right? I was just prospering and blooming, right? Wrong. It doesn't work that way. What about the excuses that we make? Somehow, when I was making the excuses, even though the excuse was probably true, I wasn't getting what God wanted me to get. And thus, I wasn't letting patience have her perfect work so that I could be complete, entire, wanting nothing. Every time that we justify, and we can do that so quickly and easily, justify why I did. I can explain to you why I did that. This is why.
But we miss the beautiful picture that God maybe had in that for me. Because I'm reacting against something. And God says, I'd like to lay my finger right there. But we're always pushing it away. And he, you know, lays his finger. No. No. See how we do that? Letting patience have her perfect work. Will I really get what God is trying to say and help me learn if that's my response, pushing his finger away? Something that's been helpful for me is consider the thing of anger, especially. If you're tended to be angry, if you're tended that way, and you find yourself struggling there, consider this. Consider the thing that you're wanting to explode about in light of eternity. The cup gets knocked onto the floor, and there's, poof, big mess, breaks the glass, and it makes, you know, yeah, children, get away. Don't walk through here, you know. And we get agitated and, you know, all these kind of things. And it might be okay to keep the children's bare feet out of the glass for sure. But what's going on in our spirit inside? In light of eternity, what was that? Just a glass. Needs to be cleaned up. Let's clean up the mess. Let's go on in life. I grew up, and I probably learned some of these traits that I'm blessed that I think my parents have went much beyond, but there was definitely times in our growing up experience that if something like that happened, you held your breath. I just say that to say this. Parents, do our children need to hold their breath when something happens, a spill, something happens? Do our children need to hold their breath? That's not right. Let patience have her perfect work. God might have just had something very beautiful in mind that happened. And it was to help me. It was to humble me. It was to create all these beautiful things in our lives. So that's one thing. Consider the thing in light of eternity. Does it really matter so much? Another one. Do I really need to be bent out of shape over something that broke? Even when I was almost done with the job. Those are challenges I face. I was just about done with the job and then the hose blows. Oil all over the creation, and you know, it's a big mess. I go home without being able to finish the job. Well, that can be a little frustrating. But what if God meant it for my good? What if He wanted to let patience have her perfect work in me? Put your own situation in there. You had some this past week. I figure you did. See, we don't see our tests and trials like God intends that we see them, and we tend to react to them. And then, do we learn? Do we learn just what He wants when we react to it? We don't, do we? We don't learn what He wants. So guess what He has to do next? He has to send us another one. Maybe a couple bigger ones. Because He's trying to get something across to us. How's it been for you? Have you learned patience? Have you learned patience? I know people have prayed for patience. And what usually comes when you pray for patience? Have you ever prayed for patience? I've been there. I've done that. I'm a little slow. Difficulties, suffering, challenges, hardships, all kinds of things come your way. Why? I pray for patience. And he sends all these hard things. It's so that he can teach us. But we have to let patience have her perfect work. Just wrapping it up here. I'd be interested in hearing some of your own tests, some of your own personal struggles in some of those areas, and how you let patience have her perfect work. Or maybe you find yourself failing. Do you know that when we confess those things openly, God does something for us? He gives us a grace. It's part of that humbling. When we say, you know, I just failed in this thing. I didn't pass the test. I didn't let patience have her perfect work. But there's something about that. It brings a healing. It brings strength to face those trials. And I know some of you have a better grip on this than I do about letting patience have her perfect work. But I don't know about you. I want to be perfect. I want to be complete. I want to be a full age. I want to be entire, wanting nothing. Not that I have it all together. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But that I'm drawing the strength and the grace from God that I need for my everyday life, the challenges that I face. And I know that you know this, but it seems that God has different grades for us to pass in this area of patience. And when we pass it, then he takes us to a new level. And he educates us there. I think I'm in grade 56 right now. And God's still at it. He's still at it. I do think it will take a lifetime to grow into all that God wants me to learn. It'll take a lifetime. As many grades as you have years is what it's going to take to grow into what God wants us to be. We'll never just get there. We press toward the mark. Let's let patience have her perfect work. Whatever trial, whatever test that you find yourself in, let's let it do what God wanted it to do in my life. That's my encouragement to all of us. God bless you.